Hi, this is Diana Panton. You're listening to 101.5 The Hawk.
Hey, Steel City Music, your host Gunnar here, my next guest. We were just setting up the parameters of the interview, and I was already apologizing for how I'm going to say his name because I feel stupid when I try to say his name because I am a 51-year-old white male from Hamilton who has absolutely no business trying to say his name, and I'm going to try it anyway. Juan.
Beautiful.
There you go. Juan from Los Chocos. But can I call you Carlos anyway? Because you said I can call you Carlos because I like that name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just full disclosure, folks, before the interview, we were both making fun of my last name, Smith, by the way, because it is one of the dumbest, stupidest, blandest names. And this guy's got one of the best. It is. It's a terrible name. It is. It's the alias. It's an alias. Smith is an alias, you know. But we were setting up the interview and doing all the technical stuff, I was remarking to you that we've been trying to do this for a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Somewhere
yeah,
around there.
Yeah.
Because you guys came on my radar a while ago. And it was, I remember this, like a paragraph of, hey, you know, we're fairly new at doing this version of our band in Hamilton, and we have a show coming up at the Casbah. Remember when we could do shows, Carlos?
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting.
Yeah, and I was like, and I was like, oh, this is cool. We didn't have any bands of your style that came across my radar. Maybe we did, but it wasn't really on my radar, so I was looking forward to chatting with you guys. It just never happened. And, of course, here we are all this time later with all this downtime. And you guys must be chomping at the bit just to get out and play again.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, obviously, right? Like, before this all happened, we had a whole bunch of things going on. Like, we had shows coming up. Obviously, we were going to play our first major festivals, like, right. A big deal for us, right? So yeah. We're pretty excited, but I mean, it is what it is. We've been discovering online jamming here and there where we can go to a rehearsal factory or something, kind of just get some practice in, or just sending each other songs online and just working at it that way. We just gotta keep doing no matter what.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same responses of some of the conversations I've had over this last 8 months of different artists. The discovering of, hey, I guess we can send our parts online and do this over Zoom just to communicate on how to write. And some have done it very successfully. Are you guys feeling comfortable with it now that it's been so long?
Yeah, we're starting to kind of slip into a groove now. Like, we're still in the studio, and we're recording four more songs, and we plan on recording all our originals, trying to get an album out, right? So,
yeah.
It's good.
That part's good, but the not playing thing is a bit of a problem for everyone right now, because just for everyone's mental health, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having said that, we were just chatting about, you know, getting together online, doing rehearsals, or trying to get in a rehearsal if you can, depending on whereabouts you live in Southern Ontario, whether you're allowed to do that or not. With that, have you guys watched or entertained any thoughts of doing an online show? Because I wasn't sure if I read that you guys actually pulled it off in the summer out on the street. Am I spitballing here?
We're still planning on doing that too. The walk on by sessions,
right?
Yeah, those have been really cool because I have my friend COVID Elvis. So you probably heard of him.
Oh my God, yes, I have.
Yeah, so he's been killing it, right?
He's
been doing so much, and I'm like, man, I love what he's doing because he's still doing his thing, but he's helping people out. I'm
right.
Like, so let's try and do that. So you know. It's a really good opportunity for us to get out there and collect some donations for people that need it, especially in this time, right?
So. Yeah. Now did you guys do that in front of someone's house, and you did it in a driveway in the summertime? Is that how that went down?
Yeah. Basically, we would start off at our own houses because we didn't really know anybody yet that wanted to do it, so we kind of just started off that way, and then people saw it online. We had one guy reach out on Instagram, and that was the last one we did, actually, up Upper Wellington area.
Right.
And it was just really cool, man. It's just, everybody's just so, and obviously we go around before,
sure,
hand out flyers and let people know, be like, hey, if this is an issue, let us know and we will not do it. Like, we don't want any trouble, right? Like, if everybody's cool, everybody's down, then
yeah,
do it.
Well, that was a different time. Like, people were allowed to move around more freely. The COVID virus was in smaller numbers, and you know, it in the summertime. I can't even see how anyone could. You can't have grouped together of five people, so. You know, I understand when you guys did that, you know, but my other question was, have you guys thought about doing the actual performance online and streaming it? Because others who I've talked to over the last while have done it and had some success with it. Others are a little gun shy just because of the technical issue of how is it going to sound? How's it going to come off? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we did do one that was streamed online at mm-hmm. the Laidlaw Church.
Okay.
But, like, that was good because it was kind of already set up for us, and we kind of went and played.
Okay, yeah, that's Helen's thing that she does.
Helen Graham, yeah.
Yeah, and how did that come off? Because I didn't see that.
That was, I don't know, that was really cool. Just the fact that we were able to play in the church,
right,
just the acoustics and the feel of it, right? Like,
yeah,
it was amazing that way, right? And, yeah, I guess on our own, we've talked about it, the online thing, but... Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of logistics about it, and I think right now we just want to take advantage of this downtime and just keep writing.
Just keep writing, that sort of thing. Yeah,
yeah. Let's just kind of keep it going, build a nice foundation. So once we get good and everything's calmed down, then we can kind of just
start it up,
jump out of the gate.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hey, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host Gunnar here, and I'm talking to Juan from Los Chucos. Dealing with the pandemic and writing, that sort of thing. And, you know, let's get into the music that you sent me. You sent me three songs, and I was listening to it, and I was having a blast listening to it, by the way.
Like,
the music is just, it's a lot of fun to listen to. Out of these three songs, are these just, is this like a group effort, or is it like a one thing? Let's start with Blue Collar Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that song.
Blue Collar was kind of special for me because, I mean, before this band, I didn't do anything really music related.
Right.
I wasn't really into too much music. Like, I wasn't like playing anyway, right? I didn't really think I could do anything like that. So I think Blue Collar was the first song where when these guys started playing, I just had this smile on my face and I just felt like I know exactly what the song's about.
Yeah.
And that was the first time it kind of came to me, like, you know, kind of organically, right? So,
right.
Yeah, it's just a fun song, man, just about, you know, people and just living their best life and not necessarily being crazy rich, just comfortable to the point where you can enjoy your life, your family and everything and not have to worry, right?
No! I my blue collared wife, blue collared pride, for my blue collared town, blue collared food keeps me
It is. It is a great. That is a great track. Now, you just said about blue collar dreams. The next track, Rider, that I was listening to. Does the band play the music and then they send it to you and then you pen the lyrics, or is it like a collaboration kind of thing? When you guys were able to be together in the same room.
Yeah. Our process kind of grew out of not really knowing what to do, so we just kind of said. One person kind of starts something off, the other person follow.
Mm-hmm.
And once the kind of feel is there, then I'll just kind of sit there and just more or less, I've gotten a little better at it before, but initially I would just kind of hum a build of a melody,
mm-hmm.
just to try to get something and then maybe some words, but not really words for the sake of words, but words just for placement of sound.
Right.
You
okay.
Know, and then it kind of just comes from there. So everybody has their own kind of contribution to it, right? And we all kind of write collaboratively. That's what I love about it, because everybody has their input, right?
And but those two, you sent me two songs, the, you know, Blue Collar Dreams and Rider. And then the third one, I find incredibly frustrating. And here's the reason why. I'm humming along to this thing, and it's not in English, but I'm loving every 2 seconds of it. I was almost like getting angry. I'm like going, well, now I got to learn this language because this is, I got to know what I'm saying. And it's like, it's really good, you know? So,
thank you.
Yeah. The track is called, Te Sigo.
Te Sigo Amando.
Yeah. I just have to see you here. Tell me about that, because there has to be, I got to know the backstory on that one.
Well, I mean, that's an old Mexican song, sung by a gentleman who's no longer here, unfortunately, but he was an amazing singer. Like, and that song just always stuck in my head. My parents always listened to it, right? So it just always had a special kind of place. And one day I just remember me and my guitarist one time, we did a solo show or something, and we attempted to do that. And I was like, you know what? This might sound good with the band.
Yeah.
So we tried it. We kind of adapted it to a bit of a, you know, we kind of kept it original and then kind of broke off into a bit of a rock kind of,
right,
you know, kind of passionate thing. And then, I don't know, we just kind of played a couple times and people really responded well to it. They loved it. So we love closing off the show with that song, right?
I can see how.
Yeah.
It's called Te Sigo Amando.
Amando, yeah. Amando. So I Still Love You.
Oh, okay. All right. So okay. So it's called I Love You. Okay. Well, that's I Love You Too. All right.
Carlos from Los Chucos. Check us out on all the streaming platforms and check out our website at www.loschucos.com.
inside, it's heaven. Me and Jesus Christ go down the Tiger Cats Labor Day game. We boo the hated Toronto Argonauts from the
visitor
stand.
I love it.
I always knew Our Lord and Savior is going to be Hamilton.
I just look it.
A hell of a record store. I thought these things died in the 90s.
And Pinball Clemens says, God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus says, Pinball, you're coaching the wrong team. And then the Argos lose by a trillion points. Choirs of angels show up.
I love Kim Mitchell.
You know what Kim Mitchell looks like?
Hamilton. That was my sweater coming along.
Hamilton. Barton Shuffle here.
Don't toy with me, Francois!
I love this town! Hey, Mike. What the f*** is that?
Hey, my next guest is an old friend of Steel City Music. Actually, he's an old friend of Sounds of the Hammer. Actually, he's an old friend of C101.5 FM. When I first met him, he was 3 years of age. He was skinny. He had long hair, and he drummed in a rock band. Mike Mitchell, is that true?
Yeah. I mean, that's all 1,000% accurate, I would say.
That's how it feels for myself, because I'm older than you, but I feel like I've known you since forever. Like, it's like we've had a couple lifetimes together.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Well, like, when we first met, I was probably 17 or 18, and I'm turning 34 now. So
oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. Cause just earlier, just as I was dialing up some stuff here, you're like, oh yeah, that's the kid in the background. I'm trying to get distracted with the Trolls movie.
Yeah,
And in my brain, it's not that long ago where you and I were talking about music and drums and your band.
Oh, dude, it's wild.
Yeah, and which was I think one of the which on the first CNC disc that we put out with the C101 and CFMU.
Yeah, I think we were on one for sure. You know what's actually funny is I was cleaning out my car not too long ago, and I found that disc, and it's got your head on the front of it.
Oh, my God.
There was an Arkell song on it, but it was credited to Charlemagne. Like, that's going back.
It is going back. Yeah, that was like CNC Music just 2 or 3 or something like that. But I mean, now the time has gone forward so much for the two of us, and I've always kept tabs on you and both of us, like through social media, yapping back and forth. I came across this thing. It was a teaser of you putting together a television show for Bell Fiber. What is this, and how does it start?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know where it really started with this. I guess. So I've been doing stand-up comedy for coming up on my 5th year now.
Right.
And obviously, like you were mentioning, I've always had kind of my hands in the music scene and you know, music comedy in Hamilton. The art scene is very, very intertwined. Every musician I know wants to be a comedian and vice versa.
Yep.
So I've been trying to figure out a way to like actually package this into a show. And like right before the plague hit everybody and we all locked down, I saw a post looking that said that Bell 5 was looking for you know, some local submissions for some shows. And I was like, you know what? I think I got something. I'm going to try to pitch this and you know, try to do it. So pitched it, started talking to them in I guess February, March-ish of 2020. And we stayed in touch throughout the lockdown and kind of kept tabs on what was going on with the Bell producer. And yeah, it's kind of this weird thing. It's like an amalgam of the music and comedy scenes in Hamilton, and a bit of an ode to what's going on here. Because I think a lot of everybody knows all of the bands that do come from Hamilton and all of the comedians that come from Hamilton, but there's still this whole underground scene that kind of gets overlooked for Toronto. So I wanted to focus on that rather than Torontonians for once.
Sure. When Bell Fiber was interested in this idea, did you have to, like, what was the pitch? Like, did you give them a pitch outline? Like, here's these two characters from a record store, Mike and Tim, and they're comedians or they're not comedians, but it's just their daily lives?
Yeah, basically, I kind of said, think of Wayne's World or High Fidelity, kind of like a little bit offbeat.
Sure.
But anything that deals with, like, record store customers. And it just follows these two guys that work in the store, Mike and Tim. Obviously, Mike wants to be a comedian Tim is trying to get that viral YouTube fame.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just kind of following these guys on their journey, trying to become famous from these weird little outlets, right? And yeah, everybody that deals with all of the customers and the general strange retail interactions that you have with musicians and the customers and all of the interesting characters that Hamilton has to offer.
Well, this to me, it seems like a very relatable series that you are putting together here, because we all come from a different background from Hamilton, but I mean it's no different. There are subtleties that are very Hamiltonian, very cultural, but with each city you have a different culture. But you can relate to it because there's something similar. So that's why I was like, this is awesome. I'm glad that he's doing this. Because to me, it was also like reminiscent of what you said, like High Fidelity. But to me, there was also that Kevin Smith aspect to it of do it yourself, kind of like putting something out like Clerks that he did. I'm drawing from an old man experience here because you could tell already, right?
But, I love Clerks, though.
Yeah, it was a great film, right? But to me, it's like this whole DIY thing that you're doing. What was the reception with some of the people in the Hamilton community when it was like your idea? Like, how many people jumped on board with this?
Oh, man. So just to kind of go back to your point about like every city having their own flavor, like I totally agree. And I hope that it is relatable, because obviously, even though it is Hamilton focused, every city has their characters that they're not exclusively Hamilton characters, but it helps land with the Hamilton audience for sure. But yeah, people were really receptive when we kind of announced that we were going to be doing this thing and reached out to some bands and comedians. And a lot of people, I mean, it's nice to actually get some money to be able to pay, you know, comedians and bands and artists that do deserve it and aren't really doing anything. I mean, nobody was making money and getting any kind of traction during 2020. You can't tour, you can't go to a comedy club and do shows, anything like that. So it was a nice way to, you know, pay it forward and get some money into the hands of these guys that, you know, have been working their asses off for years. But when it came to asking, everybody was super helpful and wanted to be a part of it. And kind of once I gave them the quick elevator pitch, they understood what I'm trying to make. And basically, like I said, like just it's fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little weird. Don't show up with an ego, and it's going to be all good. And everybody was like more than happy to jump on board with it so far.
How quick was it? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking, how quick was it for you to shoot these episodes? Like, did you do them all in like 2 days? Was it a 1 day thing? Was it done over weeks? Because you had like 5 episodes and they're about 12 minutes long.
Yeah. So really, I mean, it's only about an hour of content altogether. We were a little ambitious with moving locations around. So we've got, we actually still have to finish one more episode that we were supposed to shoot in December, and COVID
sure.
kind of got in the way of that, with lockdown restrictions and like actually just people on the crew dealing with, COVID cases. So it was, and I should be clear, nobody got it from set or anything like that. We were very safe, but, so far, I mean, it's only been about 6 shooting days altogether. And by the time this wraps, it'll probably be 7 or 8 that we do this with. But it's like, this is brand new for me. So it was kind of mind blowing when, you know, we'd set up and it would take an hour, 2 hours to get everybody in makeup and get all the lights and do all of that stuff. And we'd shoot a 30-second scene. It's like, okay, cool. On to the next one. Like, oh,
so you've never done anything like this before.
No, I mean, I've done some music video-ish stuff before, right. And I was producing some content for Sunrise Records, doing some live off the floor studio recordings at a recording studio out in Hannon, which is, I guess, just it's like a part of Hamilton, I suppose. So, I mean, I sort of kind of understood how to do all the lighting and get the camera guys, but luckily I have a really good crew that have a fantastic network of people that they brought in. Like our director of photography works on Property Brothers as his day job, and it's like, okay, cool, so let's just hire him. He's gonna know everything that we need to know that I don't know, and sure. He's kind of just filled in the blanks. And yeah, I got a nice little crew going on for this one.
And so once it's an hour's worth of content, you you get it all shot, and you still need another portion to finish up an episode. What happens next once it's done? What is the game plan with Bellfiber? How do they market it? Is like are we still in the approval stage?
Sort of, with a few things. I mean, Bell's been awesome, like really, really awesome with this. I can't really say enough about how hands-off they've been. Mm-hmm. So they kind of just gave us the keys to the car and said, okay, like just go nuts. And we've showed them some stills, and we've showed them some raw footage here and there. And so far, so good. We still have to obviously submit the rough episodes before we do anything else, but once we finish everything, I mean, there's a few jokes that I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think they're going to say, "Hey, you probably can't include this joke. Let's see if we can use a different take or something."
Right. Really? I mean, that's just you being a little hyper vigilant of your own comedy, though.
I think so. I mean, we're pretty. They didn't give us a ton of outline for how we should script this. And typically with Bellfibe stuff, they don't really do a lot of scripted. I know they're doing a few scripted shows right now, but for the most part, it's like reality or documentary style. Mm-hmm. So they basically said, like, if it would be on Modern Family, it's probably fine to be in this show. And, you know, we started filming and doing some of the scenes. And, like, we're kind of joking around between takes. Like, I don't think Modern Family would have this kind of joke in it. So we'll see if anything gets censored or cut. I'm hoping not, but yeah. So basically, yeah, once we finish all of this stuff, we'll send it to Fibes. They'll take a look at it and let us know if we're good to go or if we have to reshoot anything. But yeah, it's looking like mid-April for when this actually hits Bellfibe TV One. And so far, it's only for Bell subscribers, but we're going to see if there's anything else we can do after the season actually hits. And yeah, we're still kind of in discussions about that, but you know, for all intents and purposes, you do have to be a Bell subscriber to watch right now, but hey, it's somewhere, right? It's legitimately on TV. So that's, it's cool with me.
Well, I'm very happy for you that you're doing this, because, I checked out the teaser and I'm like, oh, hey, Tara Lightfoot. Oh, B.A. Johnson's in this one. And it was just, it just kept going on and on and on. I was like, oh, cool. And of course I haven't seen any of it yet, but I was just thinking the fact that you had to write all these episodes. Did you give those guys a little leeway to improv any of the lines, or were they just pretty cool about, let's, you know, you got to stick to the script on this?
Oh, I'm like the most laid back person when it comes to this stuff, like to a fault, I think. So we had scripts, and the way that we approached it was like, okay, try to hit these marks when you do this. If not, whatever. If you think of something that's funnier than what we've written, by all means. So a bit of scripted, a bit of improv.
Okay.
We shot some stuff with BA where he's doing
Lord,
a lot of like the hilarious guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so what do you want me to say here? And I'm like, honestly, man, whatever you want. I trust you. I've seen your shows. I know that you'll come up with something funny. And he's like, okay, cool. Like a lot of the comedian stuff. We've got an open mic scene that happens at the Winking Judge before they sold the Winking Judge. But that was all improv by the comics too. It's like, yeah, hey, just do your thing. Like if you want to pull some stuff from your act, go for it. If you want to, you know, stick with some jokes that we've pre-written, go for it. But I think like you guys have a handle on what you want your voices to be on this. So go nuts.
The title, just finally, before we wrap things up, the title of all of this, This Is The Thing, is that, did you come up with that as part of like your own act when, as a comedian, as like starting into a joke? Because to me, as soon as I read This Is The Thing, it just rings of a segue into another bit for a comedian. Or maybe I've just watched too much comedy in my lifetime.
No, totally. It's something that I find myself saying way too often.
Yeah.
As like, it's just honestly a segue in life. And yeah, after we titled the show that, I found like it jumps out to me when I find myself saying it in conversation. But yeah, I mean, originally when I first started thinking about it, I wanted to kind of focus on stuff that I thought was really cool. So like bands, comedians, like even places to eat, stuff like that. So I would say, like, this is the thing about the Burnt Tongue. You got to check it out. This is the thing about Clifford Brewery, like, right. Whatever, right?
Okay.
And it just kind of went from there. and even in the script and even in some of the improv, you'll find some of the actors say it to either segue in a scene or explain something that's going on, and it's not intentional. And like, we'd watch the take back, and it's like, yeah, this is just how people speak.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I hear it all the time, and I identify with what you're saying, because I end up doing like those little stupid catchphrases in every conversation I have, or even when I'm doing the radio. It's like, oh, well, you gotta listen to this. Well, here's the thing. This is the thing right here. And it's like, oh, I am a victim of picking up
exactly.
other people's language. Buddy, thank you for taking the time. And I look forward to, wait a minute. What is the rough, what do you feel is a rough estimation of when we can view this?
Yeah. So if everything kind of stays on schedule, COVID pending, this should be on air like middle of April. We're sort of ahead of schedule for delivery, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. We're going to see kind of what happens in the next 30 days, I guess, with the province and lockdowns and all that fun stuff to make sure that we can film our final scene. We literally have one scene to shoot.
That's so horrible.
Yeah. it looks like we're going to be on track for mid-April. But yeah, man, thank you so much for having me on and letting me talk about this insane circus we have going on here.
Buddy, when that thing comes out, you're going to be on the air, and we'll chat some more about it. And I'll always help promote whatever you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Let's rock and roll! You want to see Van Halen, ask yourself, is Sammy Hagar singing, if David Lee Roth is singing? The answer is yes. You want to see Van Halen, you want to eat these mushrooms, ask yourself, we're gonna see Van Halen, ask yourself, is David Lee Roth singing? The answer is yes. You want to eat these mushrooms, we're all gonna cheer you, except personally. Pete runs away from security guards no one can see. I'm hanging on by the thinnest of thin, 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 thin thread. Are these $20 beers the only thing keeping me sane? Or are they making me more deranged in the membrane? We're all gonna jam, except Pete, he's gonna die. Make some mistakes of tonight. Runs off into the sunset as fast as he can. I realize I may never have to look at these pasty face like ever again. As all comes in the cosmos, I realize I am one with the universe, and I am one with David Lee Roth. I'm having a perfect transcendent moment at Van Halen tonight. We're all gonna jam, except Pete, he's gonna die. Make some mistakes. Yeah!
toilet summer. We'll wait outside.
Look, Herbert, I'm not going to the bathroom on a fire hydrant.
High maintenance.
You're joking, right?
Hey, I told you to go before we left.
Just find a reality with a normal toilet.
Ah, normal toilet. Go to town, Summer.
I'll hold it till we get back to Earth.
This is why I let Rick put a catheter in me.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
twisted up inside. My body's desire, my heart in denial. It's alright. We'll be okay for tonight. Run, run, run free. Consider the speed at which you fall for me. One, 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 three. Consider the speed at which you fall for me. Run, run, run free. Consider the speed at which you fall for me.
Consider.
Nothing about love is easy to understand.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hey, it's Gunner. You're listening to Steel City Music. It's been a long day of recording and chatting with different people. And my old friend Chris Bell is on the line with me right now. Chris, how are you?
I'm really great. How are you doing?
It's good. As I was just saying, I've been talking to people all day and doing recordings and interviews. And I was on the line earlier with Lou Molinaro, and he was talking to Charlie Angus from the Grievous Angels, and he wanted me to record something for him. So I got to sit here for an hour and listen to people talk about their lives the whole